Now I'd like to turn it over to the woman's presentation.
The great future priest, Yeshurun Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. You may see them. Today I want to talk to you about purple. Pastor wanted everyone to learn the purple song. Now he is asking me to teach you the song. Can you play the music, please?
Yeah. I classify you in purple, as loyal and as royal, with pure hearts as transparent gold. So there will never be sin nor sorrow, because you follow me strictly with all body and soul.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today in the news, we're going to be covering once again some things that are taking place, and it's going to start out showing how the United States military now is actually in over 75% of the countries in our world today. So the United States military in 75% of the countries, and then we're going to show the protests taking place in China. But before we show that, we're going to show you why and what's taking place. And remember the article where China asked the Pope to not interfere in their religion. And that was from the leader of China. He said, do not interfere in our religion. And of course, they're pushing for democracy. And then we're going to go back and look at Ebola as it has transpired through the United States since the first person came. The confidence that the CDC and many people showed that how we're going to stop it here in America. And then we're going to look at how just a few people have possibly contaminated almost half the population of the United States of America at this time already. So if we could go ahead and play the news. If you notice, the CDC, they're lost at what to do. And this is breaking out. What they didn't tell you, but you will see it coming out more in the news, the plane the lady took from Cleveland to Dallas, which she was diagnosed positive just a few hours later, that plane actually flew four more times and is now in Denver, Colorado. Over 700 people flew on that plane, and who knows how many people they come into contact with, and then the airport itself, the people that they come into contact with. So keep those things in mind. At this time, if you'll please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Deacon Zephaniah Ratowski Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. I got a quick miracle I want to show you. It was 8 days in the making. Yesterday before services started, a brother came up to me and says, hey, I got a picture of Israel in the blood moon. I want to show you. And he showed me the picture, and he said he got it from another brother. And I looked at the picture, and I could see the face, and I told him, I said, well, I see the face in it, but that's not Israel Hawkins. I said, that's Israel Hawkins, it's a young Israel Hawkins. And I could see the disappointment in his face. And we sat down, services started, and then one of the Kahanas got up, started telling some old stories about Israel and the Sukkah. And she presented a picture of Israel and started telling a story about Israel, how he would stand back and watch the children. go for the fruit that was on that sukkah. Well, when she showed that picture, I immediately recognized it. That was the face that Yahweh put in the shadow on that blood moon. That was on the 8th, that blood moon. I believe the words he told her was, reach higher. Y'all please stand. I'd like to turn it back over to the Great Kohen Eli Ahilud.
If everyone remains standing, with all of the things that you just seen in the news, with the leaders, the schools of higher learning, the one thing that you did not hear was, we need to repent. Fulfilling prophecy that after all of these things, they still would not repent. At this time, I would like to bring to you the greatest life giver given to mankind in these last days, the greatest teacher of the world, the Great Kohen Yisrael, Abel Hawkins. Shalom, everyone.
Come on.
There we go. Praise Yahweh. Come on, keep going. You may be seated.
May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. On the moon with a plate of food. Now that's what we're enjoying here today. When I heard that I had that plate of food, I said, well, we got to show that today. We got a meal here coming, hopefully. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Kind of a dangerous world out there. I think I've fallen into a trap. Maybe you better pray for me. I never thought that I would ever be a racist. Not ever. But some things have taken place. I've always hated racism, but not anymore. This purple people are undoubtedly the dominant group. Purple people. They got my 100% attention. children as well as adults. I notice we got a bunch of small children, very young children, and as you can see, you can't start too early to teach them. They need this teaching right away. You know, in order to be in unity, in order to not retaliate, not hold revenge in their hearts, to keep their hearts and minds filled with love for Yahweh and this great plan of His. It's shown everywhere throughout the Holy Scriptures. This prophesied generation here, it's very dangerous, as you can see. And of course, there's thousands of other viruses out there besides the Ebola, but this Ebola just kind of shows you how something can, one of these viruses can become mutated to where it's can really take off. I wrote a letter showing where this thing, how this was made up of one gene. That is a genetic linkage is linked to an ape. Another one is linked to a swine. And guess what the third one? There's three genetic links in that Ebola bacteria. And if you think about it, you know, the apes don't rape human beings. The swines don't rape human beings. But this has three genetic links, and it's getting into human beings, which means that the human being is the third genetic link. It wouldn't get into the human beings. The human being would resist it altogether if it wasn't for the fact that something is there inviting it in, opening the door for it. And of course, we got it in the world today. As Yahshua said to Wood, if you'd turn over to Matthew 24, we're going to start there with this generation, this prophesied generation, and hopefully, I've got quite a bit of time here today, so hopefully we can get quite a ways into this. I was going to go to this the other day, last Sabbath, and right at the last thing, I had the sermon already, I left off at a certain place, and I said, well, I'm going to go back there and we'll start again the next tomorrow. Well, when I started to go up on the stage, one of the guards told me that we had some news media here that had sneaked in. We would have let them in if they had just a knock, but they preferred to sneak in. And of course, the guards knew it. Their car gave them away. Their tags gave them away. I won't tell you how, but I don't want them to know how we know. But anyway, we knew that they were here. So I said, well, I'll need to change the sermon. I'm not going to show anything this beautiful to the world. But we're in the last generation. And of course, Yahshua was speaking of that in verses 3 and 4. His disciples asked him about it. If you'll just turn there to Matthew 24 and look at verses 3 and 4. You see he's talking, the subject is the end of the age. That's the subject. And of course he speaks of on that same subject throughout this whole chapter. But as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples asked him about the end, and he says, be on guard that no man deceive you. Now, those words should register in your mind, and you should start clicking on, your mind should start clicking on the other places that the same phrase is used. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. And of course, if you look on over to 33 and 34, he says, when you see these things, and he named Ebola bacteria here in verse 7. He named the Great Tribulation, verse 21 and 22. And he says, it's going to be bad. It's going to be the worst ever in the history of mankind. And of course, right now, they're saying they've never seen anything like this, you know. Some are saying it's unstoppable. The house of Yahweh is showing them how to stop it, but of course they're refusing it. But the cause to stop something like this, you've got to stop the cause. And of course, we have caused about 10,000 different viruses to be in the world right now. We've created them and mutated them. And each one of them comes from a human being, and that linkage opens the door to others that want to come in. So right now, not only are the children being born with these things, and of course the doctors are seeing this on at birth, many of them. Some they can't see, and their bodies start breaking down on them a little while later, and when you see a cold sore, I'm just naming something that you are familiar with. When you see a cold sore, where did that come from? Well, the doctors know that it comes from herpes. Well, herpes is a STD. Why don't they stop what is causing cold sores? Then this would be a start in stopping the Ebola also. If they would just make up their mind, hey, let's start telling the public about this. And start telling them, when one of your activities includes this illegal lust and the satisfaction of illegal lust, then you're going to take inside your body something that's going to cause a cold sore. But How about the Ebola right now? You know, they act like they're afraid to tell the people what the real cause of this Ebola is. And I'm just speaking on that because that's the one that's got the attention right now. Of course, they're taking their mind off of one out of every three has sugar diabetes, one out of every four has meningitis, one out of every five has cervical cancer. This is the rate that we see in the world today. It's everyone has these diseases. The hospitals are making gobs and gobs of money. They can't build them fast enough, can't expand them fast enough, can't buy the land around them because the people don't want to give up the land around them. They want to be near the hospital when they can walk over and when they get sick and give them their money. And the cancer, everybody in the world has cancer now. Everyone. They have the gene. They have the cancer gene. It wasn't born with it. Yahweh didn't create them with it. They were born with it, but Yahweh didn't create them with it. So they've gained it down through the years by breaking these laws. A combination of different things. And of course, they don't want you to tell them either. They don't want you to tell them, hey, you're the cause of this. God's not going to punish me for that. The Lord is going to take care of me. I heard one of the senators say the other day, is talking about taking these shots. Well, of course, there's a lot of people that know where those shots came from, and they don't want those things in their body. I'm talking about the vaccines that they're creating, and they don't want them in their body. So there's a huge movement going against those, and they're talking about a forced they're quarantined to their house, or they take the shots. So you know, this is what's on the horizon right now in order to get this stuff into the blood of the people and make them unclean and get uncleaner than they already are. but Satan wants everyone cut off from Yahweh. That's the thing from the beginning. Be evil like the gods. Well, of course, when you're evil like the gods, you're cut off from Yahweh himself, who gives salvation, who answers prayer, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 shows. But anyway, there's a lot of things brewing, and of course they're fighting back and forth as to whether or not to do these things. So they're taking the votes. The Catholic, the Vatican, the Pope, he's putting out messages about sodomy to try to push the world into this practice and force them to accept this practice. Of course, he uses some psychology there, making out like that the people who don't want to be a sodomite is mistreating those who are sodomites. Now, this is the psychology that he's using. If you just watch carefully, you'll see what I'm talking about. And he's making out like you don't love that person if you don't accept him as a sodomite and his activities around you. That wasn't what Yeshua taught. Yeshua taught, I hope the Pope is listening today, Yeshua taught, sin no more or worse things are going to come upon you. Well, of course, the world is practicing sin. The Pope is helping them to practice sin. And he pretends he's showing love by getting others to join in with this group of sodomites and become the same as they. Of course, one of the apostles said they think it's strange that you're not joining in with them in this evil. Evil like the gods. And of course, the Pope is pushing this. They're already teaching sodomy in all the schools. Sodomy starts a lot of viruses because it opens the door to create a virus right away, and then that virus adds to another bacteria or another virus that has crept into your body, or maybe even a trichna from from eating unclean foods, following the priest who eats swine's flesh. Remember that one? Isaiah 66:17, following after the priest who eats swine's flesh. It seemed like the swine's flesh or the lard is always involved in one linkage to this thing that gets back to man, that creates one deadly god every once in a while that travels fast. You can't see it, you have it for days, sometimes weeks, without even having any symptoms. And the only way you know it is when you finally start thinking you got a cold or the flu. And right now, the people are so scared that if they got a sniffle or a sneeze or a cough, you know, they run to the hospital thinking they got Ebola. I guess they'll get a test like I told you about with the swine flu and the bird flu, you know. They'll surely get us a screen here pretty soon where we can cough into it and see if it's got ape hair or what in it, and we'll know whether we got Ebola or not. But but anyway, it's really easy to catch, and this god is very vicious. It's killing a lot of people, and they haven't found a way to stop it. They know the way to stop it because we've told them. We've already put it out how to stop this. But they don't want to change their lives. 32,000 scientists signed a petition saying that it's not the burning of fossil fuels that is causing global warming. It's man's activities that's causing global warming. And they have taken it to the Pope, who wants to cover it up and pretend that they're talking about something else. But they know what's causing the global warming now, but they don't know whether to tell it or not. They know what's causing Ebola. What have you got in your body if you got Ebola? You got an ape, you got the swine, and you got evidence of sodomy all coming into your body. So here's where you stand. And the senator was saying they don't want to take the vaccine to keep this from showing symptoms. And he says, why don't they want to take the vaccine? He said, because there's some fools out there saying, the Lord will protect me. See, they use this to come against the Holy Scripture, pretending that those people who study the Holy Scriptures are fools for studying the Holy Scriptures. Of course, they're without understanding, the ones that's studying it. The only way you're going to get any truth at all is not from your own studies. It's from coming to Yahweh's house. And that's where you get the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You won't get it in court either. Yeah, but you'll get it at the house of Yahweh. Well, here the Savior is saying, speaking of this time period that we're in right now, and he says, don't let anyone deceive you. If you look at verse 34, he says, that generation, 33 and 34, look at that carefully, read it. Read 33 and 34. Notice he says, that generation. Now, in 24, in verse 3 and 4, they're asking him, and this is the subject, when is the end going to be? And the sign of your coming, see? And then 34, that's what it's talking about there, the sign of his coming and the end of the world. And he's saying, that generation. So that generation, when you see these things that he's talking about here, which one of them is the Ebola, yes, that's part of it. Another one is nuclear war. Another one is about 10, maybe 20,000 different viruses we're facing that can build to the point to where this Ebola is, and maybe even pass it, you know, in getting to human beings and killing them. Now, that's what we're facing in today's world, in this generation. And he's already said this is going to be the worst ever. This generation, this sickness and disease, as he names in verse 7, called pestilence, meaning sickness and disease, epidemics. Verse 7, he says, when you see these things, the worst ever of these things, which all the scientists are saying, there's never been anything like this. Even the weather. We're blessed, of course, to have a microbiology teacher in our group today. That I've been watching his work with the children and very impressed with his knowledge and understanding, and he's going to be here this week. I told the priest here this morning that I'd like for all the young men to get in on this class, so if you can stay for next week, maybe the Ebola will get so thick you can't leave then. But would certainly your child really needs to be in on this. The weather, I don't know if you caught the message when they used the word microburst. this has never been before. Maybe on occasion or so when sin built up like it did with Sodom and Gomorrah, and of course the city was destroyed by fire, and this, if you just think about it, it got so strong in those cities right there. Now this was sodomy. Think about sodomy that they're trying to push over the whole world. And what we're facing is melting with fervent heat. Get that in your mind. Sodomy, fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Now for this to take place, and I've told you about H2O, and it's a highly flammable, both of them, oxygen and hydrogen, highly flammable, but not the way Yahweh made them. Well, how did he make them? He passed a law to guide these. Now, and the scientists know this too, and I brought this out in my newsletters, how that they're governed by law to do this certain thing. Well, of course, you can put a law on a mouse that comes in and cleans up your crumbs, or a dog that comes in and licks the floor for you, or the cockroaches that comes behind you and gets what you can't get with a broom or a mop, the flies that fly in behind you that you can't reach up and brush it off of the ceiling, they can get it. And that's what they're made for, of course. And maybe to show you how you may maybe need to clean. They show me that constantly for some reason. But anyway, this microburst, Yahweh set each one of those by law to do what he does. You cripple a fly or make a fly sick, or you make a cockroach sick, or a dog or a mouse sick. He can't do his job. Now, they know what is governing the heavens if they just put it together. They know that there's bacteria that cause rain to fall. This bacteria is made up of microorganisms. They can't see it. We knew it was there because the scripture shows that this is how Yahweh created it and set it by law. And Yahweh said, if you didn't figure out, if you search, this is in Isaiah 34:16, where it's talking about the book of Yahweh. He says, that same chapter, he says, if you can search out and tell me, explain the foundations of the earth. Well, what does it set on? It turns round and round, goes in an orbit. Where's the foundation? Well, of course, no one can explain this. And of course, Isaiah said, if you can search this out, well, then my wisdom is not worth much to you. And Yahweh's wisdom is what we seek after. That's what we follow. And there's no way, there's no way science can figure this out except that we tell them, and they won't believe it. I'll tell them right now. It's set by law not to move. The same way that a fly is set to pick up crumbs. The same way that a mouse goes and picks up food off of your floor, or a cockroach. It's set by law. Just like you said in your articles that I have fed back to you and told you, why can't you understand the rest of it? This is set by law. These microorganisms that we call bacteria today that fill the firmament is set by law to produce your rainfall. And you know that now. You know, you're smart enough now to know that these bacteria cause rain. You don't know all of it yet, I know. This is for sure. If you would imagine your body as a funnel, you know, a funnel is what you put in a jar and it's got a big top and you can pour it in easy and then it runs through a tube down to whatever you want to catch it in. Now get all of this, you won't understand it if you don't. I'm trying to explain this Oki style, the microburst that you're seeing so much of right now. It can hit anywhere at any time. It doesn't need moisture. It can just hit out of thin air. It can come down and destroy you. The way it did Sodom and Gomorrah. When the H2O got so screwed up by the Sodomites that it couldn't handle itself, the H2O divided the hydrogen and the oxygen that you put in a torch and burn. Why don't it burn in the lake? Why doesn't it burn? Why doesn't the H2O burn in the lake? Or if you're standing out in the H2O falling on you, H2O, water, and it's falling on you and you strike a match, why don't it burn? Why does it put your match out? Yahweh set these things by law. Now you screw up the microorganisms that cause your raindrops to fall, and yes, it would be very easy to separate and destroy this H2O from the way Yahweh's made it not to burn, to turning it to a point where it does burn, so when it comes down on a city like Sodom and Gomorrah, they're destroyed. They destroyed their own selves. Sin became unbearable to that part of the earth. And of course, from heaven, they created this above them. And yes, the earth vomited them out. Well, imagine yourself now, your body. Your body's made up of trillions. Get this now. Pay attention to me, not the children right now. They'll lead you later. Pay attention to me. Imagine your body as a funnel. You pour food up here, put it in your mouth, you pour water up here, and it inside your body, it goes to work to give you energy. It gives you a lot of other things too, pleasure, much pleasure. You couldn't enjoy life if it wasn't for the body Yahweh made for you. But the body that Yahweh made for you, He made for you to where you could enjoy life to the fullest. Enjoy being awake and conscious to what is going on with this body. You can see things that are pleasurable. You can taste things that are pleasurable, right? You see how enjoyable that is, and have a meal together. You can eat and laugh and enjoy life. You couldn't do that if your body wasn't here to use. And once it's separated and turned back to dust, it no longer enjoys life. It doesn't have any life anymore. It goes back to what it was made, where it came from. But your body, being a funnel, is made up of trillions of micro kingdoms doing their job. They take the food that you put in your mouth. They take the oxygen. Remember what water is made out of, H2O? They take the oxygen that comes in your lungs. They take the water, the H2O that you drink. the Cokes, 7-Ups, Clabber Milk. We're going to have some Clabber Milk in the morning, by the way. I know that you're screaming about it, but we're going to have some more in the morning, I was told. But they take that and they turn it into energy, and they send this out to all parts of your body. Now, you got what is called, what we call motor neurons. I named it something else and when I was studying it at the time, because I saw a scripture that reminded me of it. But these motor neurons, I know that y'all that have studied microbiology, I know that you are way ahead of me on this, and probably you remember more than I've forgotten. Just to explain it in Oakey style, where you'll understand it. If you won't listen to me, you won't understand it. But a motor neuron, you can make it work. You can send it a signal. I say it. You can send 10,000. You can send a signal to 10,000 or 10 million of these at one time, and you can cause it to pick up this finger, reach up here, and scratch a place that is itchy, and never look at it. That's your motor neurons doing this. Now, without sending the signal consciously, your motor neurons makes you blink your eyes automatically. You don't even think about blinking your eye, do you? Well, Yahweh put these things in your body. Now, this is in your body. Trillions of little microorganisms working to make you blink your eye, to keep your eye clean, or to point to it with a finger. It makes you twitch when there's an itch and sends a signal and say, scratch me. They're the ones that will lift your hand on command, or if something is burning that hand, they'll make you grab it up out of it instantly. Now, these are all alive and well and working. They're in your stomach. There are billions and billions of kingdoms in your stomach alone that's taking oxygen from your lungs, food that you chewed up and swallowed, water that you drink, and it's dividing these up, and it eliminates the waste from the funnel below, out the bottom of the funnel. Now, if you can get all of that in your mind, now, you pour some gasoline in there. Better than that, just eat a piece of pork. There's certain things that take place in your body when you eat pork that causes your stomach to go into a spasm-like. You may not even know it, but the motor neurons know it. And if enough of these motor neurons governing your, say, your lungs, if enough of them start getting sick and shutting down, which they can do it with AIDS, they can do it with Ebola. Yes, Ebola is tracking your motor neurons. So does several other STDs tracking them. And you start losing maybe your memory. You go to the refrigerator and you can't remember whether you're going there to eat or to put some food back in there or something. Or maybe you've already eaten. Your mind starts screwing up because it's damaged. It's damaged from this stuff that you shouldn't have put in your body. Well, of course, the laws of Yahweh, all those laws are instructions how to govern your body so it will function properly. And of course, all the instructions, the laws and the prophecies put together, shows you how Yahweh wants you to take care of your body, mainly because He wants you to live forever But also, he doesn't want you to get sick, start accepting hatred, which this produces. Did you ever get in a bad mood? Think about it, yeah. You can get in a bad mood pretty easy, right? Well, if you don't have something to get you out of that bad mood, then it will build. And this is where murders come in. Praise Yahweh, he made motor neurons to get you out of it. Yes, this is one of their jobs. Now, if he hadn't have made those, you know, you would stay angry. And this anger would build, and it'd keep growing and growing and growing. And pretty soon, you'd start hunting a brick or something to kill somebody with. Now, this is what is called sin, breaking these laws. But these laws are instructions to you to guide you to keep your body from becoming this way, to where it takes on sickness and disease, and then hatred, then violence, then wars. And this is what we're facing in this generation, is a buildup that Yeshua showed, a buildup of all of these. Now, in a body that's not working properly, and the motor neurons are not working properly, and say your stomach, this fundal, then here comes a war inside your body, a big war, and they're fighting, and they're building up hatred, and they're building up violence, and they're trying to, your motor neurons, the healthy ones, are trying to protect them while their own brothers and sisters are attacking them. Yes, inside your body. And pretty soon, in order to get rid of this, your body sends in another team of motor neurons, and what they do, they build up a pressure, they block it off up here at the top of the funnel, and they build up a pressure that blows down, straight down. Now that's what you're seeing in the microburst in heaven. And if the scientists would just realize that these things that are working in heaven are trillions of bodies that are going on working in your body, we're taken from these things. Our bodies are taken from the ground we walk on, the food we eat, from the dust of the earth, the dust of heaven, of the firmament. You got to have it, or you can't live. It's all made for you, for your body to enjoy life. Well, of course, when that microburst takes place, something is taking like a hammer and knocking it out of heaven, or explosion blowing it out of heaven. With Sodom and Gomorrah's case, it was fire. The H2O couldn't work the way the law said it to work. And of course, it turned to a microburst, but it also turned to fire, a microblast that actually burned those cities. Yes, big time. Well, of course, we got bombs that'll do it now. Well, Yeshua here now in Matthew 24, he's talking about the end, and he's asked the question, what will be the end? And he's saying, get ready for disease, epidemics. Two of the prophets said they're going to be incurable. Incurable. So far, they haven't found any cures that I know of for anything. With cancer, they burn, they poison, and they cut. Or cut, burn, and poison. Or cut, poison, and burn. But they don't find a cure. And of course, eventually, those microorganisms move to another part of the body and take up home, and then eventually the cancer is visible again. And it stops organs, it starts shutting down organs and so forth in your body. Well, of course, that's what kills you. With the body shutting down from the neurons being destroyed, your lungs could quit. Your muscles could stop moving, your brain can stop moving. You finally become a vegetable, sort of, because your body is not enjoying living anymore. They had a woman on the news this week that had set it up to have the doctor kill her. Very young woman, you know, probably in her 20s, looked like. But she had set it up because she has cancer. She's in such severe pain, she doesn't want to live any longer. So her and her husband found a doctor that would let her go to sleep, that where she won't have to suffer what she's suffering right now. Well, this is the fix the world is in right now. This is what Yahshua said it was going to be in this time period. He says it's going to be the worst you ever saw. Look at verse 21 and 22. The worst you ever saw of sickness and disease, wars, hatred, and deception. And he said, don't let anyone deceive you. Do you get that? That verse 3 and 4. It's the first thing he told them after that. And Yahshua answered and said, be on guard. This is verse 4. Be on guard that no one deceive you. Well, what's he talking about deceiving? If you go over to First Yochanan, you know, Yochanan, this was a wonderful man. I don't know if you saw in Acts, you know, he and the Apostle Kepha and his brother James, you know, they were all working, teaching the laws of Yahweh to the people. And of course, I want you to go to First Yochanan, page 965. But Yochanan, whose name they changed to John, he and James, his brother, their mother, and Kepha's mother, I mean, they were all deeply involved in spreading the word. And they would go to the temple at that time and teach. Well, of course, they arrested James, as they called him. His name was Jacob. Herod the king, remember that? Y'all remember that? Herod the king? He arrested him, had him put to death. This was Jacob. Jacob. That was Yochanan's brother. He and Kepha went on working after Herod. Remember Herod the king? I've told you about him. He owned the Roman army. They were rich. It's not a name, but a position, a lineage, a heritage. You know, the keys of this blood. And of course, I think it's about Acts 12 where Kepha and Yochanan were arrested. Or not Yochanan at that time, but Kepha was arrested. Well, Yahweh had a work for him to do, so he didn't let him put him to death. But you could tell that how much he was hated by the way they described his arrest. You know, they had a soldier chained on each side of him in prison, inside the prison. A soldier chained to him on each side, sleeping in the prison. That's how much they hated him. They didn't want this man to get away. They wanted to kill that man for teaching Yahweh's words. This is the same hatred you saw here. You know, I'm the most hated man on the face of the earth, and it was proven in their own courts. Well, Yochanan and Kepha kind of disappeared. He was arrested. They had him chained, the soldier on each side of him chained to him, and Yahweh opened the prison doors, took the chains off of Kepha, and took him out of prison. And he did a tremendous work after that under hiding. He actually went to, I think he went, from what I can see in Scripture, I think he went and lived with Yochanan's mother and hid. He hid there to do his work. And that seems to be the case. It may be different, but I haven't found anything to prove me wrong yet. But anyway, he did a tremendous work after that until finally they arrested him again. And I think he wanted to be after he couldn't do the work anymore. And of course, he wanted to be hung on the stake, but he wanted to be hung upside down to die because he didn't feel worthy. Yochanan went on working till he was arrested and imprisoned by Rome, of course. But he wrote these books. This is one of the books he wrote. We're in 1 Yochanan. And then he wrote also Revelations. He copied those while he was in prison. Well, here, you know, Christianity tries to make out like that the apostles were doing away with the laws. The Savior said, "Let no man deceive you." And then he inspires Yochanan to write these words talking about deception for you. Now keep this in mind in this generation now, don't let any man deceive you. So if the Pope has you fooled by any means, thinking that that bringing forth sodomy and accepting sodomy, like they brought much glamour to in Sodom and Gomorrah before they finally rent the firmament over them and burnt themselves up. Yochanan, he went to work, kept working writing, and showing what deception the Savior was talking about. Don't let anyone deceive you. The Savior is talking about this generation. Don't let anyone deceive you. And the apostle says, sin, verse 4, 1 Yochanan 3, verse 4, he tells you what sin is. It's the transgression of Yahweh's law. Then verse 7, he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He's telling you what the Savior didn't tell you in Matthew 24 for this generation we're in. Don't let anyone deceive you. The Pope is trying to say, would you rather get salvation from someone who wants you to keep 613 laws? Yes, who teaches 613 laws now? We're the only ones on the face of the earth that teach the 613 laws of Yahweh. So the Pope is attacking this. And his stupid statement is, which would you rather get salvation from? Some God who is merciful and will give you salvation free? Or someone who wants you to earn it and keep the 613 laws? Now, praise Yahweh. Now, I brought this out in the last week because the Pope slipped up. They asked him, why didn't you pray for peace when you was in Jerusalem at the rock wall? And he said, yes. And then he invited Perez Netanyahu to come to the Vatican to pray for peace there. And they said, is it bothering you that we still don't have peace? He said, and they said, what about your prayers? Are they not being answered? And he said, well, peace has got to be earned with merit. Not salvation now. He's going to give us that free. But to get peace, or to get a raindrop without a thunderstorm, without hail and high wind, you know, oh, we'll trust it. We'll trust God for that. And I told them, ask your God for 3 inches of rain without hail and high water. See what you get. See if he'll answer your prayer. Well, Yahweh will if you're keeping his laws, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 said. And as this very one right here was being persecuted at the time he wrote this, persecuted greatly, and he said, we receive what we asked of him. Remember the rest of it? Because we keep his laws and we do what is right in his sight. This same man right here that they put in prison, they imprisoned him too. He was the last out of those three that I was just talking to you about. I think it's Acts 12, the best I remember, that gives that information. But he said here, talking about the deception that's going to be in this generation, Matthew 24, verse 3 and 4. And he says, the Savior said, be careful now in this generation. And when you see this, know that that generation is not going to pass away. Talking about this great deception that we see coming forth from the Catholic Church and the Pope right now. And this Yochanan, this great Yochanan, that wrote these books right here, including Revelations, he said, little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. But he who commits sin, he who practices breaking the law, verse 4, is of the devil. The Pope is of the devil. There's no getting out of it. He belongs to Satan, the devil. This is what this scripture is telling you right here. He doesn't practice righteousness. He practices breaking these laws and saying, the God, our gods that we worship, they will give us eternal life for being evil like they are. That's what he's teaching right now. That's his full teaching. In fact, the whole Vatican is teaching this same thing. They don't want the truth. There's no money in truth. These drugs and things that they're selling right now, these hospitals, you think the Pope, the Vatican, is not getting their share out of this? There's many articles showing the money they're raking in on this right now. He who commits sin, breaking the law, belongs to Satan the devil. Let no man deceive you otherwise. Verse 10, look. In this, the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. The children of the Pope, of the Satan, are manifest. They're made clear by what he teaches. If you look back to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, we see the Apostle Shaul, whom they also killed, teaching this. And they say, well, the Pauline letters, Pauline, they call him Paul and Pauline. The Pauline letters indicates that we don't have to keep the law. He found another way. Well, look how plain his scriptures are here that he wrote for you. And this was also done for these last days. So was Romans. The book of Romans is also written for these last days. But Corinthians 6 and verse 9, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous, remember what righteousness is? Don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness, verse 4, sin is the breaking of the law. He who practices keeping the law. And the apostle says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? This means eternal life. They will not inherit eternal life. In fact, Yochanan said in that same chapter in verse 10, he says, Murderers do not have eternal life. Well, who is a murderer? Yeshua said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Remember, I said your mind, it gets, when you let your mind, your body, get screwed up to where the oxygen, the food, the water, to where the H2O is not working properly in your body, including your mind, the motor neurons do not work unless they're fed proper food. And the fact is, these STDs are attacking the motor neurons in the bodies of those who break these laws. So you wind up with hatred. And people, like the football player I remember, he made the statement that he woke up every morning wanting to knock someone's teeth down their throat. Yeah, this is a great example of the motor neurons in his body was not working properly. I didn't keep up with him, but I know he lived a short time, because once they start breaking your motor neurons down, then your body becomes helpless. It can't move a finger. The body organs won't function. Your kidneys will shut down, your lungs will shut down, your heart will shut down. Any organ in your body, it has to have those things to work, but it has to have proper food to work properly. Yes, it can fight for a while, but eventually it will fully be taken over by these STDs. Yes, they are STDs, and eating unclean foods, the swine, the trichna, and so forth. Well, this apostle Shaul says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh?" They won't inherit eternal life. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Those will inherit eternal life, the tree of life. Do not be deceived. You see that? Do not deceive yourselves. What did the Savior say for this last generation? The question that was asked to him, and he said, the first thing you've got to watch is be on guard that the Pope cannot deceive you or any other man. For this generation, this last generation, do not deceive yourselves, neither fornicators nor God worshipers. That was Eve, remember? Be evil like the gods. She's saying, be evil like the gods, you won't die. That's the same message the Pope is teaching today. Nor men who commit sexual perversion with men or boys or and also with other men. This is sodomy. That's what he's pushing forward. Accept the sodomites, he's saying. Don't be angry with these poor people. They're just caught up in something here. He talks about a gradual change. Yeah, the gradual change that he wants is for them to teach you to be sodomites, to practice fornication and adultery, to be evil like the gods. It's all said right there in that verse 9. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Deception. Now we still, if you go back to verse Matithya again, Matithya 24, And we still got this to contend with right here, and it's getting stronger each day. And many are falling for this propaganda and lies that's coming forth from Pope Francis. He's great at what he's doing. He's great at deception. He's not the only one. He's not really the one that writes his speeches. But he's the one they chose to go forward as Satan's Santa Claus to try to deceive the world with these speeches that is being written by many psychologists and psychiatrists, written for him. Matithya 24, and look at verse 21. For then will be great tribulation, such as has not come to pass since the beginning of the world to this time. So that's the reason we're seeing things at this time we've never seen before. And we're seeing this buildup of disease epidemics, as he said here, it's going to be the worst ever. And unless those days were shortened, they would all kill themselves. They'd kill themselves off. There's no way they could survive for long without killing themselves off completely. Verse 23, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Messiah, or he is there, do not believe it. Now this is going to take place in this generation. Have you got that? in this generation, look at that, verse 23, they're going to say to you, they're going to say to the world, here is the Savior, here's the Messiah. He's here in the Vatican. Haven't you heard? For there will arise false messiahs, false prophets, who will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. That's you, brother. Yahweh has elected you to call you out of this world and make you in unity with Him to uphold His laws for sin never again. There'll never be sin again. Behold, I have warned you. Now notice he says, now behold now, I've warned you beforehand. So when they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go forth. Behold, he is in the holy place, do not believe it. Let me see, I've got the corrected scripture for that last verse there. Verse 26. So when they say to you, I think this was already explained before and read to you before, but I'll just read the scripture corrected. So when they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go out. Behold, he is in the holy place. Do not believe it. For as the light, not lightning, but light. I've explained this myself many times. But get it in your mind. We're about to see it. For as the light will depart from the east, we saw that. That was my brother from the east, going west. Remember? West of the original place. From the east, and thus revelation and truth. Truth and prophecy will come from the witness in the west. From the witness in the west. Remember, he said in Isaiah, he said, but they will reverence my name from the west. Reverence. Remember what reverence his name is? I brought many sermons on that. To reverence Yahweh, you've got to keep his laws. To reverence the name of Yahweh, and let everyone who calls with the name of Yahweh depart from evil. That's the merits, Pope Francis. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever those who worship Yahweh and reverence the name, or reverence the one he will send, are, there will the righteous be gathered together. There will the righteous, yes. A great gathering, tremendous gathering is going to take place. That was verse 21 through 28. Matthew 24:14, we see in this same chapter, this message being preached to all the world. The correct version there is at Abel, being preached at Abel. And it points you to Isaiah 11, sends you there with reference to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. I've got to read you this before I quit. Isaiah, the 11th chapter. And here is where we see the witness, of course, that does the work. The Matthew 24:14, preaching this message, and where he is gathered together at Abel, gathering together at Abel in the west. He's coming, the two witnesses, if you remember, one of them came from the east trying to establish the work there, the house of Yahweh. And from the east, he came to the west, where the one called Israel actually is prophesied to establish the house of Yahweh. That's in Zechariah, the 6th chapter. Well, actually 4 through 6, the one who opposes Babylon. Well, here now in Isaiah 11, verse 1, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yeshua, and a branch, that was Yahshua, of course, and a branch will grow out of its roots, out of his roots. Well, of course, that's us in these last days. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. That is the branch, the Spirit of wisdom. Hold your place right there and turn over to Zechariah. Zechariah 6. I'm just about through. Zechariah 6. Hold your place now in Isaiah. Zechariah 6 is page 719. He said, take the silver and gold and make crowns. Now this verse before this is also corrected. I called David one day and having him work on this, and he said, you know, not one of those names is in any of the manuscripts that they gave there. And of course, the rest of it was mistranslated a little, but not too awfully much. But in verse 11 now, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, the son of Jehozadak. That Jehozadak is Yahweh. If you look over to the reference there, it shows you Strong's Concordance shows this word means Yahweh. And Yahshua, I think the King James Version put Joshua, but that is Yahshua and not Joshua, but not Joshua the son of Nun, it's Yahshua the son of Yahweh. Yahshua the son of Yahweh, the high priest, Hebrews 10:21 says, Yahshua is now high priest, sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. He is high priest over the house of Yahweh. Speak to him, and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold the man, speaking to Yahshua, the high priest, behold the man whose name is the branch. For he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. Well, of course, this is speaking of the last days now when Yahshua is high priest. He wasn't high priest when he died. He was called up to heaven to where he sits at the right hand of Yahweh and become high priest, as Hebrews 10:21 shows, over the house of Yahweh. Now back to Isaiah 11. Reverence Yahweh, last part of verse 2, the Spirit, let's read verse 2. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, that is the branch. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the reverence of Yahweh, which will make him of quick understanding in the reverence of Yahweh. He will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor will he reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness will he judge and the poor and reprove. Notice the poor. He will judge the poor. I don't see many billionaires here, do you? And reprove, praise Yahweh, and reprove with equity for the meek, humble of the earth. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's what Revelations 11 says, if you remember. If any continue to sin, he will smite them with the rod of his mouth, that is, with the preaching of Yahweh's laws and prophecies, and with the breath of his lips will he slay the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt of his waist, faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down. Speaking now, he hasn't changed the time period here. He's speaking of a time period that we're going into. Verse 7, the cow and the bear. No. Back to verse 6, I'm sorry. Lay down with the wolf will also dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child will lead them. Little child. Y'all hear? Do you see that? One version said children. The children will lead them. I like the American Standard in this case. the word branch there, it says the branch from the root from the root will bear fruit, it says. And a branch from the roots, from Yahshua, will bear fruit. And of course, if you remember Yahshua's words in Matthew 7, the seventh chapter shows that by their fruits you will know them. And he says, don't be deceived now. If I wasn't teaching the laws of Yahweh, I would be deceiving the world. And that's what Yahshua showed, and that's what the prophets and apostles showed. So he said, they will bear fruit. Then he says in verse 2, and the Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. Remember the Spirit, Yochanan 6 and verse 63 says the flesh is worthless. The flesh is worthless without these laws. And he says, the laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and their life. They guide you to life eternal. They guide your body. They're going to guide this body. Yes, you're going to receive a new body. Yes, it's going to be made new without the defects that you have right now in it. And that one you're going to keep healthy forever. Sin no more, ever again. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. That's the laws and the prophecies. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. This is the American Standard Bible. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's verse 4. That's Revelations 11:5 says the same thing. He will oppose Babylon. This man, this branch, will oppose Babylon. I want you to pray for the work. All of you, remember this. Pray for the work, because there's a big movement out right now to try to stop the house of Yahweh. Of course, there's been a movement. It won't amount to anything, but Yahweh says, ask and you will receive. Don't forget to pray for the work, Yahshua said. The apostles too. Pray for the work. I was reading where a judge issued a subpoena to latch on to the documents, that is the papers, the written sermons, and records of sermons, certain sermons that a group of preachers brought, subpoenaed them, who were actually trying to solve the problem of sodomy that is increasing in America. And they subpoenaed their documents, their papers that they preach from. They subpoenaed their sermons that they brought, that they had recorded and so forth. Well, of course, this is just, they're not the house of Yahweh, so they have not his protection. They're going to get caught up just like the Arabs, the ISIS, the Muslims and so forth. They have a little bit of holiness, and Yahweh shows that Mary is going to make war against all forms of holiness, that is brought forth by the house of Yahweh, of course, but these other groups too. There's a difference in us and the other groups. We have Yahweh's protection, and you better believe that, brethren. If you don't, you will die in it. There's no way you could save yourself in this world that's coming right now, that's increasing, like we saw on the news. It's much worse than what you're seeing on the news right now. Last part of verse 4, it says, and with the breath of his mouth he will slay the wicked. Well, that's the word Zerubbabel. He who opposes Babylon, that's in Zechariah 4, where he shows the two olive trees, the two olive branches, and then it gives you the word Zerubbabel. Well, of course, it wasn't Zerubbabel he's speaking of. He's speaking of the two witnesses, as he plainly says, and shows what they'll do. But they put the word Zerubbabel literally there, but it actually means he who opposes Babylon. And then, of course, verse 8, and a little boy will lead them. This is what the American Standard says. One says Nora, a girl named Nora. Yes, that's in here. I don't know if I could find it quickly from David's work here, but let me see if I can. Let's see. The two witnesses also, the Lamb, will gather the house of Yahweh to reverence Yahweh. That's verse 6. They will change and repent, gathering together to keep Yahweh's Sabbaths and feast days in unity, that they may reverence Yahweh, rulers and king will be trained by a buffalo. I'm smiling too. By a buffalo to do the work of Yahweh. And Nora, a young woman who was much hated and despised, will lead and guide. Now that's speaking of this generation. Remember, don't forget, this is speaking of this generation, the two witnesses, the witness, the branch, and so forth. You'd be surprised the names I've found of young children that are much described in the Holy Scriptures and being mentioned, and it's very obvious that they're being mentioned in this last day's work, big time, that no one thought to mention this before it was made obvious by Yahweh and Yahshua, our high priest. But you might start remembering this and try to remember the names of our children. By all means, I intended to bring this out the first day for you to get your children involved in this school while they're here, for those that are out of state and out of country and so forth. But we will go on with the schools for those who can stay a while later. And our great biology teacher is here with us, and one of the best classes I've ever seen is coming from that man. He knows what he's doing. He's not an Okie like I am, where he has to explain it Okie style. He can explain it with the books to where it's really clear, and you really need to get in on that class. And if you got children, we're going to tape the classes, we always do, and you can get them on disc if you want to. But the children, you need to get your children in there firsthand if you possibly can, especially young children. They pick this up so rapidly. And with our children, see, when they know the Scriptures, see, they're learning the Scriptures along with what Yahweh used to create the heavens and the earth, how he actually founded the earth. He made a foundation for it by law. He set these microorganism kingdoms and actually by law said you keep it in this rotation right here. You don't speed it up. I'm putting it in Okie terms. He set laws in their little bodies, and their little bodies that you could put 10,000 on the head of a needle and still couldn't see them with your naked eye. That's how small they are. But by law, by his law, these are governed to make the motor neurons that I was talking about, to make your eye blink, make your finger move, and so forth. Well, it won't get out of whack. It'll keep moving. Your eye will keep blinking until something destroys those motor neurons. And of course, sin never again will stop anything from destroying those motor neurons. It will also stop the fire from coming down from heaven to earth and destroying people. We got a wonderful meal we're expecting here today a beautiful meal. I've fed on the house of Yahweh here. I'm so joyous. I'm bubbling over seeing all these purple people. Purple people. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next leader. I love you.